Caroline, Willie, D. Mays, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, and The Game Nashville app. We're streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. And we are broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Next Thursday is the first round of the NFL draft. It is so close, we can almost taste it. And joining us now is ESPN NFL analyst Tim Hasselbeck and, of course, the head coach of the Ensworth Tigers. Tim, appreciate you for joining us and always appreciate your insight every single week on Tuesdays at noon. You've been breaking down the quarterbacks. You watch the film. You know the quarterbacks probably better than anybody. Are there four quarterbacks worthy of going in the first four picks? And based off of what you heard, what's the likelihood of four quarterbacks going in the first four picks?
Well, in terms of, you know, are they worthy of going yet? I really think that if a quarterback is good enough to go in the first round, then I actually think that he's good enough to go in the first four picks. I'll kind of use Matt Ryan as the example for this. There were a lot of people like, you can't take Matt Ryan at one, but it was okay for Atlanta to take him at three. It's like, to me, that type of logic doesn't make sense. Like, now I get it. Look, I'm not a draft Nick and to say that, hey, look, this is the best corner that we've seen on the board in 10 years or best offensive tackle we've seen on the board in 10 years or anything like that. I just think this, if you're going to draft a quarterback in the first round, what you are saying is, look, we expect this guy to be a decade long starter for us and play at a winning level. So should JJ McCarthy be the fourth overall pick if you went through it all? Look, I'm sure that you would have people say, well, no, I wouldn't take J.J. McCarthy with the fourth overall pick if, you know, this tackle's available or this defensive end's available, whatever it may be. But, like, to me, if you were going to take J.J. McCarthy at 12 because you thought that he would be a quarterback that's a starter for a decade and play at a winning level, then of course you could take him at four. So I think I look at it a little bit differently than some people do. And maybe it's because, you know, I'm not saying like, hey, let me look at this offensive tackle and you know, basically say, you're not going to get another tackle like this next year. I think that if you're a quarterback that you have a first round grade on, then you really could take him at any spot. Like, that's how I feel about that position and the fifth-year option and the impact it can have on your franchise.
Makes sense to me, and I'll extend that to maybe the first round as a whole, or first-round graded players, rather. How many elite, franchise-changing, game-changing, game-altering type of players do you think are in this draft?
Yeah, well, it's interesting, right? So, however you evaluate these guys, I think that, you know, there's 32 picks in the first round. I think if there's 10 real, you know, game changers, like, it's a good year. You know, I think, and I don't want to be sitting here like, you know, poo-pooing the draft. Like, it's not a big deal. Obviously, the NFL has done an amazing job, you know, creating non-events and making them big, huge events. Right. But look, we know that, like, the hit rate on certain positions is just bad. And we know it's, you know, better at other positions. So, like, for example, like, if you were to look at guard, like, there's a better hit rate at guard than there is, you know, at wide receiver. There's a better hit rate at tight end than there is, you know, at corner. And so, like, how many guys, you know, Caroline, to be honest with you, like, if there are 10, that means it was a good year for general managers. Like, I just think that that's the world we live in, you know, in terms of most of the times, you know, we're getting it wrong in the first draft.
We're talking with Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst. Now, Tim, I think it was Willie that sent this article this morning, either Willie or Caroline. I didn't see the name attached to it, but it was an interesting article. on The Athletic from Alec Lewis, and it talked about teams drafting and how they draft, and it's a really interesting and good article. But some of the premises was, you know, is it better to move up in the draft, move back in the draft, accumulate picks, or just draft that one guy you believe is a stud? With you being in your space and you talking with GMs around the league, what are they saying in regards to draft, whether to move up or move back? What is better? What would be beneficial to some of the guys that you've spoken with, some of the GMs that you've spoken with?
I think most guys, because they understand the the unpredictability of drafting players, they want more picks. And so moving back a couple spots, picking up a fifth rounder, moving back a couple spots, picking, like, that matters. Because, like, you know, when you draft, you know, Kevin Byard, you know, in a later round, well, if you messed up the first round, you got the ability to say, yeah, but look what I did in the later round. You know what I mean? Like, check that guy out. Most guys want more picks because just think about certain general managers and how we talk about them. Hey, John Lynch, hey, like, he drafted Brock Purdy. Like, he also drafted Trey Lance. You know mm-hmm. what I mean?
So yeah.
The wins, you know, and some of it's just the narrative in general and that type of thing. But, like, you can tout the wins. You can tout the good players. But it's when you get somebody wrong in a critical spot and you don't have other picks to counterbalance the getting that wrong, then, you know, then it gets you in trouble, right? And so, like if you... You know, if it's like you can get a lot right, but if you know if you're just getting a couple things right and you get Josh Freeman and Aurelius Ben wrong, then you're out. Like, it's just like that's how this works. And I think that most guys would rather move back, have more picks, because you're bound to hit on somebody in that environment.
Yeah, and the reason that I brought it up, Tim, is because obviously the Titans are in a space where, being a seventh pick, where they can essentially move back. And still possibly get, you know, the player that they wanted and some. That's why, you know, I posed that question to you, because do the Titans stay put even if, you know, Alt's there or if he's not there, or do they move back in the draft a few spots and still be able to get the guy that they want?
Yeah, and I think this is the biggest story of the draft every year is not, like, you know, we make it out to be, you know, this is how everybody has these players rated and that type of thing. I think it's really understanding what somebody else feels like they need to draft, right? So let's just say the Titans are going offensive line. They know they're going offensive line. They've got their guy. But I think it's understanding, you know, what everybody else is doing. Like, all right, hey, Minnesota wants to move, but, like, they want to move because they want a quarterback. You know, Denver wants to move because they want a quarterback. Like, I think understanding that part of it is really the bigger story, because if you can move back one or two spots, get the guy that you were going to take at six anyway, but yet pick up, a fourth rounder because you just moved, you know, a little bit. Like, and, oh, by the way, that fourth rounder – you know, turns into a tight end that becomes a Pro Bowl player one day. Well, like, now you're doing what you should be doing, right? Like, that to me is just, like, getting the guy you want and moving because somebody else's need is different. Like, I feel like that's really what the draft is about.
Now, every year, Tim, we talk with Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst, and, I'm sorry, I didn't mention it, Tim, and head coach of the Innsworth Tigers. You know, you see teams do this every year, or you see players, this happen to players every year, where they're projected to get drafted top 5, top 10, and then all of a sudden you get past 5, you get past 10, you get past 15, and you still see this guy just sitting in, and all of a sudden he slips out of the first round, where before the draft, just about everybody was saying this guy, I'm hearing this guy's a first round, this guy's a, which guy do you think, or do you think it will be a guy that, not named J.J. McCarthy, is there a guy that can fall far in the draft, out of the first round, or just far in the first round, guys that they have projected like top 10 picks?
Yeah, that's a good one. And honestly, I feel like it's always a surprise, you know, every single year. Look, I don't think McCarthy's fallen out of the first round. I don't think there's any shot for that. And really, I don't feel like McCarthy would end up outside, you know, the top 12. You know, like when we look at the quarterbacks, I think it's a little bit different this year in that, like, I don't think there's any shot. Like to me, if Drake May fell to six, like, that would be – like, that to me is, like, a bigger story than a guy, you know, Drew Lock falling out of the first round, you know? Like to me, if Drake May goes all the way to six
– and the Giants, like, pick at six, right?
Yeah, yeah. Like, if he goes all the way there, like, that would be the stunner to me. And really, I would say if Drake May gets past three – and somebody, you know, moved to four to get him, like, that to me, I feel like would be huge. I feel like that'd be a big deal. You know, those other quarterbacks that are talked about as potential first round draft picks, you know, Michael Penix Jr. or Bo Nix, you know, guys like that, you know, I think it's a little different in that, you know, it's already kind of been out there. They weren't invited to New York, or excuse me, they didn't, you know, basically they're not going to New York. I think there's an expectation that, you know, they would not be first round draft picks. And I think that it's, there's probably enough reason to understand why that is for either guy. So yeah, I mean, this year it feels like, at least at the quarterback position, the surprise would be if, you know, I'm making this up. The surprise would be if, you know, Jordan Travis goes before Bo Nix. You know, like, to me, like, and look, as, you know, Titans fans have seen, like, look, think about, you know, Malik Willis and how that ended up. Like, that was a big, you know, surprise on draft day. I think Will Levis, same way, you know, a big surprise on draft day. So we've seen it happen. It won't surprise me if it happens somewhere. I just don't feel like it's in the first round.
Tim Hasselbeck is with us. Tim, just referencing the article that D. Mace brought up, another interesting factor was talking about the human element that might have you looking past what the data shows. It's just balancing the, you know, the eye test and the human element with the time-tested stuff. And you can't, there's no perfect way to do it, but it talks a lot about the emotions of a coach or a scout who might have a little more self-interest, or even a position coach that's saying, I've got to have this guy. But it's really interesting how many things have to go right for you to actually have a good draft.
Oh, absolutely. And you're totally right. I mean, just, you know, been around it long enough now to, like, hear draft day stories about, you know, various things. Like my brother's a good example. Everyone always linked him to Mike Holmgren, because, you know, Holmgren was the head coach in Green Bay when he was, you know, drafted to Green Bay, and then was the head coach in Seattle when Seattle traded with Green Bay to get Matthew. But Holmgren didn't want to draft Matthew. It was Andy Reid that wanted to draft Matthew. And so, you know, like, the, you know, hearing kind of how some of these things play out. Like, I remember hearing a story talking to some guys at the Giants about Mathias Kiwanuka. Like, the Giants had traded back. I think they traded with Pittsburgh. Say they were picking at, like, 19 or something. They had traded. Pittsburgh had won the Super Bowl the year before. And so they trade, you know, Pittsburgh moves up to 19 or in the 20s or somewhere. And the Giants move back to pick 32. And basically it was because they were picking around, you know, 19, 20. And Mathias Kiwanuka was the highest rated player on their board. But they had, you know, Michael Strahan and Justin Tuck and OCU Mignora. And it was like, look, we don't need another one of these defensive ends, you know, edge players. And so, like, let's trade back. And so they trade back, and all of a sudden they get to 32,
And it was like, wait a second, Mathias Kiwanuka is still on the board. He was our highest rated player at 19. He's for sure our highest rated player on the board sitting here at 32. Like, now we're just going to go ahead and take him. Well, and like, Willie, to your point, like, fast forward a few years, Giants win a Super Bowl with this like NASCAR package of rushing the passer and getting after Tom Brady. Well, who do they do it with? They did it with those four guys and Mathias Kiwanuka being part of that mix. They didn't even want to draft him, but they kind of were like, look, we're wasting our money in our scouting department if we don't just go ahead and take this guy at pick 32.
I feel like we talked about this with you last year, but I'm curious how your thoughts maybe have evolved after another year of this. With the COVID factor, and there's a lot of older college athletes in every sport, but definitely in football. I was looking at Bo Nix, I believe, is already 24. Drake May, for example, only 21. Jaden Daniels is 23. Caleb Williams, a little younger, 22. J.J. McCarthy is only 21. I shouldn't say never. I rarely hear, when I hear Mel Kiper and the different people, Louis Riddick talking, for example, this morning on debating about these quarterbacks, they usually don't bring up the age. I feel like that is a big thing for me personally. If I were a scout, I would be considering the age of the player. But where do you stand on that? Do you think that is evolving some, or are they just looking at the player where he is right now in at the stage of life?
I think it's a huge deal, and I was screaming at the top of my lungs on it about Kenny Pickett when he came out. Kenny Pickett was older than every quarterback that was drafted in the first round the year prior to him coming out. Kenny Pickett basically was a pro quarterback in college in terms of, you know, his the rhythm of his day and life as a college quarterback, in quotes. He had graduated. He was a full-time quarterback at, whatever, 24 years old, like, with a really good team around him. So, like, that matters a ton. Now, I think there's this balance of this. Playing quarterback in the National Football League, I think, is the hardest position in sports. So I don't think that you can just, like, you know, roll out of bed and do it just because you're, you know, a really talented athlete. Like, you know, like time on task, right? Outliers, 10,000 hours. Like, you do need reps doing, you know, playing quarterback. And so there, I do think there's this balance of, look, a quarterback that's 20 years old. I think Sam Darnold got drafted, you know, before he turned 21. Well, he also didn't have a ton of starts under his belt in college. So I do think that there's a balance of, like, you know, the Bill Parcells commandment of, like, you'd love the guy to have 45 starts, but also, like, don't be fooled by the fact that, like, you've got a grown man, you know, who's, you know, 24 years old in some scenarios playing against 19 year olds and, you know, and has graduated from college and isn't balancing everything that being a college student, you know, requires you to do, you know, early in your college career. So I think it's a really big deal, the age of a quarterback, but also, like, what is his environment of, okay, why is he playing well? And, like, I would say to you, and I feel strongly about this, and I had called a number of Pitt games, like, to me, Kenny Pickett was full-time football for 2 years. And
So you're saying he's closer to his ceiling than a guy that might be 21?
I think he was at his ceiling.
Yeah. So that's maybe the mistake some people make. I think of the extreme situations like Chris Winkie or Brandon Whedon, who are even older because they played minor league baseball for a while. Like, it's got to happen quick for those guys, but they're fully developed, right?
Was Crouch or was he older, an older quarterback?
Tim Couch?
Yeah, Crouch.
Yeah, no.
Tim Couch. Crouch, the quarterback for Nebraska.
Oh, Eric Crouch.
Eric Crouch, yes.
I don't remember.
Yeah, I don't remember his age. I mean, that scenario was
because that was the whole thing, was, is he even a quarterback, right? Yeah. Didn't they?
He ended up winning the Heisman, right?
He won the Heisman, right? And then they moved him. And they didn't even let him play quarterback, right? That was a whole other.
Yeah, But I think this, like, I mean, and listen, I'll tell you, like, as a high school football coach, I can tell you, listen, there's a big difference, man. Like, year over year, there's a big difference, you know. Like, and it's a big difference at every level. Like, go put a sixth grade team out there against a fifth grade team.
Yeah. It's not going to end well.
A little different.
No.
No, it doesn't. And I'm going to tell you right now, like, you know, dirty little secret and some of these, you know, some of the programs is that, for sure, is kids that are just way, way older. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden it's like, well, that's different. Like, you know, and that's different than, you know, a sophomore that doesn't have his driver's license yet and a sophomore that's going to vote in this election. Like, that's different. Like, it's very different. And so, you know, it, as you get older, probably a little bit like dating, like, as you get older, you know, the age difference is not that big of a deal. But, like, I do still think it is a significant factor, especially when you think about, okay, well, like, not only is he older, but he's been graduated from college for a year or 2 years. And he is taking a very light class load. He's not really stepping foot on campus other than go to the football facility. And I would just say, like, that was the environment with Kenny Pickett.
Last one for you, Tim, quickly before we get you out of here. How do you evaluate Brock Bowers?
Yeah, I think he's amazing. I think when you watch him, like, it's just undisputable, like, how incredible of a player he is. You know, the route running, the run after the catch, the way ability to track the football, ability to separate. Like, to me, like, everything you see with that, you think that is a matchup nightmare. You know, the inline blocking and stuff like that, you know, probably leaves a little bit to be desired. But that's the case with most guys. They're not incredible at both things. And I think that anybody that had any doubt about it, when you watch him or when you see his numbers after he's tested or go through some of the drills, it's like, no, look, man, fast is fast, and, you know, separating is separating. And I just know this, like, as an offensive guy, like, that is a dream, somebody like Brock Bowers.
ESPN NFL analyst Tim Hasselbeck. Tim, appreciate you as always. Thanks for stopping by, and we'll catch up with you next week, draft week next week.
See you guys. Sounds good.
I appreciate it. Tim Hasselbeck, always appreciate him for stopping by on Tuesdays at noon. We'll react to what Tim had to say there. Plus, yesterday we reacted to Mark Domenech, former NFL general manager, who said on SiriusXM NFL Radio that he thinks Brock Bowers would be a slam dunk for the Titans at 7. And everyone in the text line was feeling some type of way about it. So let's react to that and see some of the concerns that you all had. Would they be concerns of ours if we were Rand Carthon, if we were the Titans general manager? We'll get into that coming up next. Caroline, Billy, D. Mays, we are brought to you by Zen Sports. Start earning cash rewards on your bets today. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789. Terms and conditions apply. Must be 21 or older and in Tennessee to bet.